It's always a wonderful experience to come into the house of God. And when we come into the house of God, it's also profitable for you to come with an expectant heart. Because many times, you know, we human beings, we are accustomed to a kind of a routine whereby we do things just because we have to do them. But when we come into the house of God, I normally ask the Lord in the morning, Father, what is it that I'm gonna learn? What is it that you're preparing for me? Amen. What is it that you have in store for me? I want to be sensitive, regardless of the person who is sharing the word, regardless of who comes into the church that day. I come and I ask God, I want to go out with something. And I pray that you make this your prayer. Amen. And by the way, Sister Nelly, I want you to prepare after this service. I want you to give us a number. You blessed us yesterday. The Lord bless you. Amen. And so this day, I hope that you have a desire that this day will never go away before something has been added into your spirit. Praise be to God. I want us to turn our Bibles into the book of John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, and I cannot overemphasize the importance of bringing your Bible into the house of God. And as we were admonished last week by our sister Purity, it is also profitable to bring a notebook because you might never know when you might need what you put down. The Holy Spirit might just cause you to jot something down, and in the course of time, it might be useful at a certain point in your life. Amen. And the way the Holy Spirit works is very, very interesting, because nobody can really claim an accomplishment to be, to have everything or to be completely perfect in the Word of God or to know everything. But it is the Holy Spirit who breaks up the Word of God, and in the course of preaching and in the course of listening and hearing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is able to break down the Word of God into little nuggets that you are able to absorb, even on a personal level. Praise be to God. And so it is very good, it's very, very important for us to be attentive. Whoever is preaching the Word, whoever the Lord has chosen to use at that particular moment, to be very sensitive or to pick up something that the Spirit of the Lord will be speaking to us. And so I'm so delighted that I've been so privileged to share this pulpit with wonderful men and women of God, and we shall continue doing that, because I don't believe that I'm all well-rounded, you know, to be the only one who can bring the Word of God. I believe that I need also to sit down under the feet of some of us so that I can be edified, and so that I can be taken to a certain level. And let me tell you, it has been a wonderful experience. May the Lord bless every one of us who is granted an opportunity to come and stand on this pulpit and be used mightily of the Lord to come and communicate the Word of God. Hallelujah. And when that opportunity comes to you, seek the face of the Lord and let the Lord guide you so that you can come and feed us. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the story in chapter number 4 is a very, very common chapter. And as I was really preparing my spirit throughout the week, you know, for what we experienced yesterday, you know, for the worship night, you know, I've been thinking about worship and what worship is and what it means into our lives. And I could not help but just focus on what our Savior, our Lord, spoke and narrated a story, you know, the story that is narrated in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Praise be to God. And you know, the story in the book of John chapter number 4 is a story that really it's kind of like goes beyond the normal, and sometimes when we look at it on the face value, we really may not really see when we read that story just normally, we may not see, okay, this is a story, it's Jesus dealing with a woman from Samaria, and And wow, you know how she communicates, and we might just stop at that. But I, you know, the Holy Spirit can help us to get into a deeper meaning and to kind of, cut out this story and see the meaning of what Jesus wanted to communicate, even unto us, not only to the woman from Samaria, but what Jesus intends to communicate to us. Now, the Bible begins by speaking to us about Jesus being in Judea. If you read chapter 3 of the book of John, it speaks of how Jesus is explaining about the truth, how he is speaking about the gift of God, who he is, and how God has given him to the whole world, so that if anybody believes in him, he would never perish. And he is speaking, and Jesus, you know, the thing about Jesus, whenever he went, and we were, as we had last Sunday, he drew people because of the things that he did. Praise be to God. It is a wonderful experience to see how the Lord was able to move with the miraculous and signs and wonders, and how people came to him. And we were reminded last Sunday that some of the people may have followed Jesus not because of the things that he offered, but just because of the miracles that he performed. And we were admonished that we need to follow Jesus because of who he is. Praise be to God. Why are we Christians? We are Christians because of what? Of the work that has been accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And so we find Jesus now deciding, you know what? There is already a commotion, because there are people who are really for John and there are people who are really for Jesus. But Jesus understands controversy more than anybody else. And he decides, it is time for me to get myself out of Judea and get into Galilee. And for him to get through Galilee, he had to pass through Samaria. And when I was reading this story, I was reading it very, very slowly. As our Pastor Wilson tells us, do not hush and rush as you read the Word of God. And I came to understand that nothing happens just by any accident. As long as you are a child of God, any single experience that you go through as a child of God never happens by accident. Praise be to God. It might be going to work. You might be going to work at 3 and something happens and you're delayed, and something happens and so you go to work and report to work 15 minutes later. It never happens by an accident. Praise be to God. There are certain things in a believer that happens and you wonder why they do happen. But I am here to tell you that nothing happens just by any accident. God orchestrates your affairs. He orders your steps, and he knows where you're going to be, and he orders and he knows how your life is going to end up. Glory be to Jesus. I am getting somewhere. And so as Jesus comes into Samaria, it is a long, dusty road. And they are hungry. They were ministering throughout Judea, and they're so hungry. And as they come to Samaria, I believe, you know, the leader of the disciples tells them, hey, you know what? We might get into one of these cities in Samaria so that we can buy some food. And Jesus tells them, you just go, I'll be okay. You go buy food. And the disciples, you know, disconnect or leave Jesus, and they go shopping for some food. And as Jesus is walking by, he finds a well somewhere. The Bible says it is the Jacob's well. And he is sitting here, and he is all thirsty, and he is all hungry, and he is all weary because of the journey. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, nothing happens by accident. His destination was to go to Galilee, but he had to pass through Samaria. And as he comes into this pool and as he's weary, a woman comes, because as it was the tradition, a woman from Samaria comes to fetch water. And we all know the story. And as the woman comes into the pool and she's coming to draw water, Jesus looks at her and he says, ministry time. Somebody say ministry time. Hallelujah. It is amazing when we realize that God provides opportunities in and out of season. And there are some times when opportunities knock on your door and you may not even realize that this is an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. You may not even sometimes realize that it is an opportunity to encourage somebody. Somebody might be there for at that particular moment, and you might be there just so that God can use you to minister to them. You might be on your way riding on that train that goes to downtown. The dot. You might be on the dot sitting next to somebody who is going through an agony and disappointment. And let me tell you, you might be the person that God connected with you so that you might just say hello. And throughout that week, or maybe throughout the month, nobody ever spoke to them. And you might just smile at them and you might make their day. Opportunities come but every single day. It is all about us to open up our eyes and see ministry. And Jesus is by the pool, and this, she sees this woman coming here, and she sees and she reads all about her, and she says, "Oh, how I hunger. Oh, glory be to Jesus, because my meat is to do the will of God. Right now, I might be hungry. Right now, I might be weary. Right now, I might be thirsty, but I see an opportunity." Do you see opportunities when they come by you? What do you see when that person comes to beg for money as you stop on the sound sign, on the stop sign? Are they a nuisance to you? Are they a bother? Are they a hindrance? Are they an eyesore to you? Or do you see an opportunity? I dare you to see an opportunity. You may not literally talk to that person, but you can whisper a prayer that can change the environment, that can change the destiny of that person. Glory be to Jesus. And so this woman comes up here, and Jesus is, Jesus is all well-rounded about knowledge. Jesus doesn't need to learn anything new about you. He knows everybody about everybody. He knows their address. He knows what they go through. He knows the weaknesses of everybody. When Jesus looks at you, he is able to see you ins and outs. And as this woman comes here with a need of natural water, Jesus looks at her, and she says, "It is time to tell this woman about her life." And as she comes, Jesus knows the enmity that there is between the Jews and the Samaritans. By the way, if you didn't know, the Samaritans came into their land out of the king of Assyria when the children of Israel were in captivity. The king of Assyria went into communities in Babylon, and he picked up, like, say, for instance, in Dallas, he would pick up people from Farmers Branch. He would pick up a few people from Louisville. He would pick up people from Denton, and he would bring them into the land where the Samaritans are today. Just like the Americans, if you would trace their heritage, most of the people who live in this land are not the original people who have been here all along. But their forefathers either came from Europe, their forefathers either came from Africa, their forefathers came from the Caribbean, or, you know, from other countries, and they came here. And nobody right now can convince them that they're not Americans. This is exactly what happens to the Samaritans. They were never always on that land. And so they developed, you know, the king of Assyria wanted to depopulate the Jews in that land because this was an original land for the Jews. And so as they continued to cohabit together, there was an enmity between the Samaritans and the Jews. And so when this woman comes up here, Jesus looks at the woman and he realizes there's no cultural or any bond between me and this woman. I know she is not supposed even to speak to me. She is not even supposed to relate to me. She is not even supposed to talk to me. She is not even supposed to talk to her according to the traditions of my culture. If I talk to her as a person an eminent person, a person of authority, I might be in trouble. But when the woman comes, Jesus looks at her, and Jesus, being thirsty, he begins a conversation with this woman in a story that you can never believe where it's heading out to. And Jesus tells this woman, "Can you give me some water because I'm thirsty?"
And immediately this woman, being a woman from Samaria, looks at Jesus and he recognizes Jesus as a Jew. And he says, what relationship do you do? What connection? I mean, how can you even dare ask me to give you for water? Well, you know that Samaritans do not even talk. They are not even with any traditional connection with the Jews. How dare you? How can you cross such boundaries to tell me to give you some water? But I want to tell you that the love of God, glory to Jesus, the love of God can crisscross between boundaries. The love of Christ can penetrate through traditions. The love of Christ is able to penetrate through barriers where traditions can stop you. But the love of God, when it comes, let me tell you, that's the reason why when you see somebody who is different from you, regard them as an image, that one that has been created in the image and likeness of God. Learn how to appreciate everybody as long as they're human beings. Do not regard their skin color. Do not regard whether they speak a different language from you. You may not. You may have come from Africa. You may have come from the Caribbean. You may have come. You might be an American. But when you see somebody, know that there's something that God has for them. Because of the love of Christ, the love of Christ that is resident within you, Tony, is able to penetrate and to go through boundaries. Let me tell you, when you let loose the love of God, and you might be speaking to a Hispanic brother, they may not really understand you, but the moment you begin to relate with them, the love of God is able to go past the barrier that you are seeing. And this is exactly what our Savior saw. He saw, I know for sure that this woman is not going to appreciate me, but I'll see more. I see what I can get out of her. If only I can be able to penetrate through her barriers, if only I can be able to penetrate past her traditions, if only I can penetrate through what she believes, if only I can penetrate through what has surrounded her mind and what she has been brought up into, then I'll be able to scoop her as a harvest for the glory of God. And so Jesus speaks to her, and as the lady tells her, why are you asking me for water? And Jesus tells her, listen to me, if only you know, the person who is asking you for natural water, this same person can give you water, that when I give you that water, you will never thirst anymore, and there will be fountains within you and wells within you that will spring up to eternal life. I am here to tell you there is a fountain inside of you that will cause you to never thirst again. Hallelujah. The fountain that God deposited into your life through his Son Jesus Christ by way of salvation has deposited a well that is everlasting in your life, that when you're desperate, you can run to that well and drink, and you will never be thirsty. When you are so compressed in a corner between a rock and a hard place, you can run to that fountain and you can drink some water, and you can be rejuvenated and refilled and go about your businesses. I am here to tell you, church, listen to me, as long as you're born again, there is a well that bubbles out in your life, that when you thirsty, the only person that can allow themselves to go thirsty is you. Because as long as Jesus, the fountain of life, is in you, he is always bubbling with the water, and he is that water is living water and is fresh. And if only you, when you're desperate, when you feel like every the world is crumbling and the mountains are falling on you, you can run to that fountain and you can drink and you can drink and you can be thirsty. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. And she told this woman, if only you know the person who asks you for a drink, this same person can give you water. But when you're thirsty, and this woman is confused now. Now, you got to know something about this woman. This woman was in a relationship with 5 men before. So she is looking at Jesus and she's like, wow, I love his knowledge. I love his legs. I love his eyes. I don't know whether women look at men's legs or what they look. I think women just concentrate on somebody, you know, macho, somebody who is strong. I don't think he saw any strength in Jesus, because Jesus was weak. Out of this journey, he's frail. But I think this woman saw, wow, I've never had anyone of my 5 husbands that I had before speaking like this.
And he says, I think this could be my seventh one. I think I'm going to boot the sixth one right now and call for this one. But he says, but how are you telling me that you can give me water that you will never, I will never thirsty again? I don't see you with a tool that can get into the well. And furthermore, it is so narrow. I mean, it's so deep. But see, let me tell you, unless the truth of God has been revealed and the Holy Spirit has broken it into you, we will ever continue to see things as physical and natural. Unless the Spirit of God, the Spirit of faith that is worked out by love is introduced into our life, we can never even interpret the simplest of a sentence in the Word of God. And Jesus says, I gotcha. Say, gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Yes, I don't have any tool to get into the well. How come then that you say that you're going to give me water, that when I run into it, I'll never thirst again? Can you give me this water then? Yeah, I think she was speaking sarcastically. Oh, now, okay, yeah, you're just here, just a guy, you're so weak, and, you know, the other minute you're asking me for water. Now, you're the one who's telling me, why don't you give yourself that water first? You know, you're looking at things at the physical and the natural, just the natural realm. Okay, give me that water. Give me that water that I will never thirst again. And Jesus tells her, gotcha. This is what I want you to do. Go bring your husband. Go bring me your husband, because I'm not going to give you this water alone. Hiya. And so this woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, yes, I got you. I don't have a husband. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I don't have a husband. Let me tell you, sometimes, let me tell you, when Jesus wants to get you, you are going to get yourself out of trouble without even knowing. He's going to put you in a trap, in an entrapment whereby by your own mouth, you will have surrendered. You would have said, okay, now, here I am, the way I am, Lord, come into my life. I'm born again now. You know. And so this woman says, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you exact more. Actually, I think Jesus maybe spoke in French, exact more. You said it right, because you've had five husbands. Let me tell you. The one thing I love about God is that, you know, he's a gentleman. And he wants to bring a situation whereby it will reveal. I mean, the Bible says that he is the light of God. You know? And the Bible, listen to what the Bible says in the book of John chapter number 3. Can you go there with me? John chapter number 3 verse number 21. Listen to what the Bible says. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought out in God. In other words, God is the light. And so when he begins to speak to you, it might be through his word. It might be through a preacher. It might be through a brother at work. It might be through somebody who came and speaks to you. He brings out a light. And let me tell you, when the light of God within that person begins to illuminate within you, you can't help it. But you begin to see your weaknesses. You begin to know, oh yeah, I didn't know even that was right. I found myself just there, and I didn't know that I was. That it was. So what can I do now? Five. Husbands said, I don't have anyone. Yeah, because you have had five. And even the one that you have is somebody else's husband. Do you know? Notice what the Bible says. Immediately Jesus said that. This woman said, are you one of the prophets? And now the Spirit of God begins to speak through this woman about worship. Jesus had not mentioned anything about worship. But there's something about sin. When God reveals sin in anything or in anybody, the Spirit of God begins to connect it towards the healer of that sin. And he said, our fathers worshipped God in this mountain that you see. And you read the commentaries, you see that the pool of Jacob was so close to that mountain called Gemariz. I don't know whether that's the name. What's the name of that mountain? I think it's called Gimelias. Just don't worry about the name of the mountain. But the mountain was so close that two people speaking to each other next to the pool, they would hear one another. So he was pointing out to the mountain and he was telling Jesus, you know what? Our forefathers worshipped on this mountain. And there are other people, the Jews, that worshipped in Jerusalem. But this woman was so confused because in the first place, the Samaritans tend to take their genealogy from the Jews. But literally speaking, when an American is here, some of the Americans don't even know the story about what happened and how they conquered the Indians. And now they actually conquered the Indians and now they have built actually communities for the Indians. Do you know, if you go to New Mexico, you find communities for the Indians. The people who are originally here, they were pushed by the Americans, and now this America is theirs. And now, sooner or later, your children will also be claiming the same. The children of your children, right now, Josiah might say, oh, my mom is from Dominica. But the daughter to your son, he'll say, this is America. What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? This is my land. But they may not really realize where they came from. And so the Samaritans used to draw their connection with the children of Israel, even though that was not correct. So in the first place, for the woman to say, my forefathers worshipped in this mountain, it was an error for her to say that. Because she was picked up, her generations were picked up from the communities in Babylon. And they were brought into the land where the Israelis, the Jews, were supposed to be. And he said, you know what? And some people also worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus said, in his mind, I believe, I don't care what your error might be. I don't care for your ignorance. But right now, as I stand here, my love penetrates past your ignorance. My love penetrates past your arrogance. My love penetrates past the boundaries that you have formed between us and the Jews. My love, when it knocks you down, you will come to realize who I am. And I'm here to encourage somebody here tonight that you might have dismissed a brother who is lost in drunkenness. You might have dismissed somebody, your neighbor, who is lost in witchcraft. You might have even dismissed somebody at work because every time they open up their mouth, they talk fallen. And you don't want any connection with them. I am here to encourage somebody. Begin to change your mindset and begin to see opportunity. Because if Jesus would concentrate on the ignorance of this woman would never have been reached out. And so Jesus said, I will go past your ignorance, thinking that your forefathers, who actually were not, worshipped on that mountain. You know what? How it happened? Actually, what happened, Sanballat? In the book of Nehemiah, if you read in the book of Nehemiah, Sanballat, who was actually the person who was opposing the building, the walls of Jerusalem, her daughter was married by a priest in the Jerusalem, a priest called Manasseh. And so when they came and married with Sanballat, he was chased out of the temple because he was a priest. And guess what? The Samaritans were so wroth with the Jews, and they went into the same mountain where God had commissioned the forefathers, the original forefathers of the Jews, to erect a temple. And they built a temple there in opposition to the temple that was in Jerusalem. So you can see, it was kind of like idolatry. But Jesus goes and looks past idolatry. And he says, I don't care what you're telling me, lady. I don't even care how many women, how many husbands. I don't even care that you have somebody's husband right now. I don't even care your ignorance, but I'll fish you out. Glory be to Jesus. I dare somebody to say, I don't care where their background comes from, but I will stand here as a representative of the Most High God and communicate the love of God that has been deposited in me, because I cannot be selfish. I cannot see them go to hell. I will tell them something about God. I will share the gospel with them. I will encourage. I will provide my shoulder so that they can cry on me, regardless of where they have come from, regardless of the things that they have gone through. In the name of Jesus. Are we together? Glory be to God. And so Jesus communicates to this woman, and he tells him, gives her a profound statement. Listen to what he said in John chapter number 23. I know you know this by heart. But the hour is coming. Somebody say the hour is coming. And now is when true worshipers will worship him. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in the truth. For the Father is seeking for such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus looks at the woman and she says, the hour has come when worship will not only just be a performance. Are you listening to me? Jesus is telling her, I know you are so engrossed in a state of confusion, but I don't care the state of your confusion, but I'm here to put things straight. I don't even regard less that there's a boundary between our cultures and my cultures. But listen to me. I am here to explain to you something that is deeper than what you know. And it's a good thing for every time to always desire to know things that are better. He tells them, worship is not only constrained to a performance. What we just did here like a few minutes ago is part of what worship is. We should not only say, you know what, I will worship God after the praise and worship, or when the praise begins and we are dancing, and then there's that, the moment when we sing slow songs, that is not the entire worship. But the entire, he told the woman, worship is not only going to be limited to a performance. It is not just climbing on that altar that you all, you know, you're in a confusion state, think that you go there to. The Bible says that the Samaritans feared God. But remember that they were picked up out of Babylon and they had their own gods, which they never left. They found a culture that feared God. And so because of a culture that feared God, they feared God even though they carried with them idolatry. Idol worship. So even though they went up into the mountains, some of them would go and worship their little gods. But he was telling them, you know, worship is not just where you go up into a mountain. Neither is it only going to the city of Jerusalem and going into a temple to worship God. But a time has come. Glory to God. A time has come. And now is this time. And God is looking for some true worshipers. Somebody say true. True worshipers. If you miss anything in this service, just get this, because this is going to be revolutionary. God is looking for true worshipers who are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Because God is a spirit. The only way we can understand the realms of a spiritual dimension is for us to have some knowledge of how the spiritual dimension operates, and in order for us to penetrate that realm, then we have to walk in the truth. There's something that happens when you walk in the truth, because when you walk in the truth, as we saw in the book of John chapter number 3 verse number 21, the light of God, the truth, walking in truth kind of throws in a light within you that exposes anything that would beset you, anything that would hinder you from reaching out to God. And this is the kind of worshipers that God is looking for. Men and women who are ready to come before him and surrender and tell God, look into my life right now. Look into my heart, Father. God, there is nothing that is hidden within me. There is nothing completely that is hidden within me. According to Hebrews 4:13, everything lays bare before you, my God. May you remove anything, my Father. I invite you in every corner of my life. Even those hidden sins that I've never shared with my wife. Even those sins, those things that I did, that it has been an impossible ordeal for me not to share with my husband. Lord, I invite you in those corners and I surrender. Remove them, Lord. Remove them so that I can be truthful before you. So that when I stand before you, God, you are not going to point at anything within me. Hallelujah. And that is the moment that God is looking. Let me tell you, church, when we are in a state whereby we can constantly ask the Lord to search our lives. Because, you know, there are certain things. Is it not true? That there are certain things that you've never shared maybe with even your closest person, your husband. No, they can chase me away. This one, I can never tell anybody. in the middle of the night when your wife is snoring, you're waking up slowly, opening up your computer, and you're going to certain websites, and you have actually set up some motion detectors so that should your wife wake up to go to the bathroom, you're going to close that computer right now. Certain things you do. You are going to work and your husband thinks that you're going to work, but you pass by a pub somewhere near close to your work, and with some bubble gums and with some smell eliminators, and you take one on the road and you come and tell your husband later, praise the Lord. Or you pass through somewhere in a motel, in a corner somewhere, and you do your thing. And you know what? You wipe yourself clean up. You cannot, nobody will never know. But I want to tell you, everything that is done in secret will be exposed. Trust me. God understands, and he watches over you even as you get on that closet, and as you remove your shoes, and as you put yourself on that bed, or you do something. Hey, when you take that kalumbandeka, used to call them kalumbandeka, that, you know, that kind of liquor that you just need to take a quarter, and it kills it, completely puts you on the floor. On a corner, 7-Eleven somewhere. You know that 7-Eleven that is completely hidden from anybody? You have actually looked at the map of your area, and no pastor or any believer that lives here who knows you. And actually you have timed even the hour that you get there. You get one and you tell them put it in a paper so that you know nobody can see it. Paper bag. And when your wife asks you, what is that? You know, these are things for men. It's just a shaving lotion and, and at 2 in the morning, that's where you wake up slowly to shave. Thank you, my sister. To shave. And you know the smell might be so strong, you might be smelling to your wife when you go to bed, so you just say, oh, I'll sleep on the couch. And when your wife wakes up in the morning and asks, what happened? You know, I think I was dreaming something. Am I on the couch? Let me tell you, if God really would really open up and reveal things that we do ourselves, even as Christians, you'd wonder. Nobody would be here. But it's by the mercies of the Lord. It is by the grace of the Lord. Whatever it is that you know, it might be your mind infiltrating you. It might be something that you do in the closet, in the secret of your own. It is time to surrender it, church. It is time to surrender. For the Bible says that those that will come to worship me, M-U-S-T, must worship me in truth and in the spirit. In truth and in the spirit, in truth and in the spirit. Father, may you help me, Lord, that when I come before you, whether it is doing whatever I'm doing it in truth and in the spirit. In truth, in truth, in truth, in truth. When you walk in truth, the light of God will expose those things and you'll surrender them before the Lord. And men, listen to me. How many men do we have in this house? Can you shout hallelujah? Make your wife your friend. Even those things that you've never told her. Just get one of these fine days, organize a dinner, take her out. If you're a wife of somebody and you know that there's something that you ever did and you have included, you put actually, it's called a what? A Sherlock padlock that nobody can, and you threw away, actually you froze the key. It's seated somewhere in your freezer so that nobody can open up that door. Go get that key. Open up that lock. And release it. Tell it out. If you're not married and you have a close friend that you really trust, it is time to get into the closet, into your freezer. Get that key and tell somebody, I want to tell you something that I did. Because the Bible says that open confession is good to the soul. Open confession is good to the soul. It heals you when you let it out. And when you confess it to one another, it is even stronger. Because God is looking for people. And it will be in vain, church, if we can come and do certain services for the Lord. And we are not truthful. Because God is not going to regard it. And listen to me, church, I'm almost closing. Worshiping is not just when we come here and we lift up our hands and we are singing, and Israel is, and Brother George is telling us to clap our hands and lift up our hands. It is part of the process. But as we walk, we are worshiping God. As we walk, we are worshiping God. As you are talking to your peers, it is a form of worship. Your eyes literally are worshiping God by the things that you are looking at. Are you listening to me, church? Your ears, whatever comes through your ears, it is a form of worship. And it has to be truthful. What are we going to do? Huh? What are we going to do? What are we looking at right now? In the middle of the night, is that form of worship? Are you really worshiping? Are you offering God lip service? It might be a lip service deal. It may not really be verbalized, but why are you worshiping? Even through our eyes, the things that we talk to our people, the things that we allow into our minds, it is a form of worship, Evangelist Hilda. Whatever you think about another sister, it is a form of worship, because worship is not just a performance, it is a lifestyle. Are you listening to me? It is a lifestyle. And that's why Jesus told the woman, the time has come and now is when God is looking for some true worshipers. Are you a true worshiper? Are you a true worshiper? And he told the woman that worship is not only going to be done, it's neither going to be on this mountain, it's not only going to be in Jerusalem, but you know, worship is a consistent thing. As long as you are a Christian, every single second of your life, you are in worship mode. How you talk to the clerk at the supermarket when the line is so big and you started complaining, is that worship? When that patient that you've been looking for is so uncooperative and you are looking for a clerk, when he's there, the supervisor, you slap her and you say, praise the Lord. Oh, this is too much. I can't take this. Is that worship? You know what? I have had stories of what people do. You know? If there are cameras, they turn them towards the wall. And you're pinching that patient. That patient has been there. Pinching them. And they're saying, "What?" And if the supervisor comes, "Oh, you know, I think I delayed giving them the medication." It is true. Let me tell you, church, you'll be amazed what even born-again Christians do. You know, things that you do on a daily basis. In fact, we need to take inventory of our life when we wake up. How do we wake up? When you wake up, I know many people are grumpy. They don't even want to look at their husband or their wives. You know? When you wake up, say good morning. Somebody told me this the other day. And it was very interesting. And when you wake up, they say good morning. Is that you, Nelly? Were you telling us? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord. I like that. When you wake up in the morning, you might be stressed. You know, some people sleep when they are joyfully and they clap. They even had a family devotion. But when they are waking up the rest of the night, you would think they were in hell through to three times. And they are coming and they are looking at you, Allah. They are asking me, where is the toothbrush? What are you asking for the toothbrush? You know where it is. What happened? 7 hours you went to sleep. Did you go through hell three times and back? Even when you're sleeping, it is a form of worship. Tell the Lord, Lord, as I slip into a subconsciousness, zip my mouth, zip my mind. I don't want the devil to visit me. I want to sleep nice. If I slept while I was joyful, I will wake up and kick and say, hey, hallelujah, my wife, I love you. Mwah. Are you ready for the day? You know? Not waking up, you know, you don't want to talk to nobody. It's like, God, you know? Anything we do is a form of worship. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen. Anything, name it. The way you treat your children, the way you talk to them, the way you even punish them is a form of worship. You got to be fair. Huh? Let me not go there. I wanted to go somewhere. I don't want to go. Hallelujah. A time has come when God is looking for some true worshipers. If there are true worshipers, if the Lord says, I'm looking for true worshipers, then it means they are false worshipers. Isn't it? Because the Lord would have never said true. I'm looking for some true worshipers who are going to worship in truth and in the spirit. Hallelujah. And so, Jesus' mission is almost accomplished. And this woman, really, when the light of God shone on her, she actually forgot the reason why she was on the well. And she ran. And she left the pot, the water pot. And she ran and telling everybody, come and see somebody who's telling me about my life, my entire life. Actually, Jesus never told her entire life. Do you know? Jesus never told her her entire life. The Bible just told her that you have six men. Right now you're going through. In England, you have five men before, and the one that you have is not even your wife. That's all Jesus told about her. Huh? That is entire life? But listen, there are some things maybe she did with other men that maybe we are not recorded. But the point is this. What I want to say is this. That when the light of God comes, it gets into your oblongata, pastor said oblongata, or whatever it is, your conscious mind and the inside of you. And it awakes everything that are so hidden in every corner. And so it kind of flashes you out. Oh, I did this. Oh, I did that. Oh, God, I can't remember. I was involved in this gang. I can't remember that I did this to this woman in the closet. Oh, God. And everything is exposed. And she runs and tells everybody, come and see a man who looks like Jesus, who has told me everything. And immediately the disciples show up. And they are confused. Jesus with a woman, guy. We have never seen this. They never spoke a word. But God orchestrates situations, because if the disciples of Jesus were there, they would have provided the water to their master. But just because the disciples were gone, he just asked the question, and it provoked so many things that brought this woman into light. And he told the disciples when they came that I look and I see the harvest is white. Praise be to God. I see the harvest is white as snow. It is ready to be harvested. And what he meant is that I am here standing with this Jew, this Samaritan woman, and I see many, because she is living in ignorance. But I just spoke a word. How about if all of you can get the same spirit and just speak the word of God? We will pluck many into the kingdom of God. Listen, church, you might say, when are we going to have an outreach? Don't wait for an outreach. Yeah? Even when we called you for an outreach, you never came. I can even count how many people we were when we're knocking on those doors, within Farmers Branch to tell people about the Lord. Don't ask for opportunities. Do you work? Yes. Are all the people that you work with born again? You know what? You don't even have to carry a King James Bible, when you go to work. Let me tell you, that's why we walk in ignorance. You walk in that office, you carry like this, And actually, you're the one who pinches that sick person, and they want everybody to know that you are holy, holier than thou. No! Leave the Bible at home. The Bible is in your heart. You can just speak a kind word to somebody that can change and revolutionize their life. You can even treat somebody, just be an epistle. The Bible calls us epistles. My brother, it calls us epistles. You can just be an epistle to somebody. You can just decide, I'll be bringing a cup of coffee. This person loves coffee. Every time they want coffee, oh, don't worry, I'll bring it to you. The next time, what else you want? I'll bring it. Oh, and God bless you. The Lord bless you. May you have a great day. May the Lord shine upon you. You don't even have to. Let me tell you, with time, because they're human beings and you're throwing the light of God, they'll come and tell you, why do you do these things for me? That is exactly what Jesus did. Why are you doing these things for me? Where do you go? I see something unique and peculiar. And you will say, gotcha. Gotcha. But you're not going to get a gotcha. Actually, you might get a beating if you think you're going to do this. Gotcha. I heard the other day that you are treating the sick person. Jesus is going to kill you. In Jesus' name. Let me tell you. You are playing with fire. So that guy can get hold of your neck and push you down there, right there, because of lack of wisdom. to walk in wisdom. We have to ask the Lord to help the Lord to trust the Lord to give us ways of how we can reach out to people. People are hurting. And you can begin from maybe your neighborhood. Your neighbor, knock on their door. Maybe pick up their trash one day. Surprise them with something that they have never seen anybody do. If you live in a neighborhood where you can cut grass for somebody, don't think of about $2-3 that you're going to spend for using your lawnmower. Go cut their grass. Come on. You know, you can do that. Surprise somebody. Maybe, have you seen people, like people are having problems, you're in the line on a supermarket, they are missing just a dollar to pay up their bill. Get out of your wallet, get a dollar. God is going to bless you. You know, they're going to come and, who are you? And you can start a conversation and bring somebody to the knowledge of the Lord. Shall we stand, please? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Worship is not just a performance. It is a lifestyle. And those that will come to worship God will come to worship God in truth and in this. And he is looking for true worshipers. When we come here on Sunday, it is kind of like a preparation. Because you leave, you are out of this church 6 days a week. And actually when you come on the seventh day, you only hear 2 hours. Surely that cannot just be the entire worship that God has intended for us. But it's kind of like an igniter, you know, kind of like a launch pad. There's something that tells us, oh, it prepares you for the rest of the 6 days. The 6 days experience is what will prepare you for the 2 hour experience. Not the other way around. Are you listening to me? Lift up your right hand before the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we worship you. Father, we honor you. Father, we thank you, God. You're looking for true worshipers. God, I want to be a true worshiper. Open up your mouth. Tell the Lord you want to be. And truthfully, if you don't mean it, don't say it right now. Say it later when you know you're ready. Lord, prepare me to be a true worshiper. A true worshiper, because you're in the business of looking for such that are true worshipers, the ones that will worship you in truth and in spirit. And you have told us, Lord, that if we are to worship you, we must worship you in truth and in the spirit. For that's the only kind of worship is that is going to be acceptable to you. All these other things will be just lip service. Oh, Lord, God forbid that we'll be coming into this sanctuary to offer you lip service. God forbid that we will live our lives Monday through Saturday, Lord, offering lip service. God forbid that we will treat other people unkindly and not representing the kingdom of God and so offering you lip service. Help us to know that every act, every single action that we do throughout the course of the week, the conversation that we'll carry with our colleagues at work, the conversation we'll carry with our husbands, our spouses, our children, every act that we'll do, Lord, even when nobody's looking at us, it is a form of worship in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May you help us, Lord. Let your grace abide. Let your grace, Lord, be available. You might be in this auditorium, you've never given your life to Jesus. As he was speaking to this woman from Samaria, and as he threw the light, his light, you know, the light of Christ even into this woman, and she was turned around and she went telling everybody, come see the person who has told me everything about my life. You might be that person. We want to give you an opportunity. You can, the Bible says that he stands knocking at the door of your heart. If only he can open up your heart, he can come and dwell inside of you, and he will be your Lord. The Bible says in the book of Romans 10:10, if only it is unto the heart believes unto righteousness, and you confess the Lord with your mouth unto salvation. Very easy. There will be saved. Lift up your hand if you want to receive the Lord right now. Is there anybody? You want to receive the Lord? Lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Anybody wants to receive Jesus? You might be in this room, you're sick in your body, you need a miracle, you need a touch from the Lord, you need another level of anointing, another level of pushing forward so that you will begin to walk in the anointing of God. You need a miracle desperately. You have questions that have not been answered yet. Lift up your hand. We're going to believe God together. Lift up those hands right now. You need a miracle. You need a touch from God. Lift up your hand. Is there anybody? Yes, I see those hands. I see those. Keep lifting them up high. You know yourself. You don't have to lift if you don't have. You don't need anything from the Lord. You know? Nobody gains anything by you lifting up your hand except you. Lift up your hand if you mean it.
Hallelujah. Lift up those hands to the Lord as a sign of surrender. Father, in the name of Jesus, you're unlimited in the way you deal with us. And Lord, my God, everything lays bare before you, God. I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that you shall come in and stir up a movement, Lord, in the hearts of these that lift up their hands. You know what their weaknesses are. You know their limitations. I pray that you shall touch them only way you can do. In the name of Jesus, Lord, shine a light that will bring a change into their lives. Whatever they aspire to do, Lord, let there be a revolutionary change to the glory and honor of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, as we go out this week, Lord, I declare that this week will be the best ever in the name of Jesus. I pray that we shall walk in faith. I pray that we shall walk in confidence. I pray that we shall walk as sons and daughters of the King. I pray that, God, the doors shall open for us. I pray that you shall send divine connections to us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because the light of God shines over our lives in the name of Jesus. I pray that you shall grant us favor both with you and with men in the name of Jesus. Everything our hands shall touch shall succeed in the name of Jesus. And now unto your word. Yes, my God, and unto you, Father, we commit ourselves, Father, and unto in the inheritance that is shared among the saints. May you build us up in your word. Let us remain in you this week. Let us be on fire for you, God. And above everything, I dare us, Lord, to be true worshipers. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody say it. Amen.